Good morning. Glad you're here this morning. Thanks, Brandon. Today we are continuing our series on standing strong. And I shared several weeks ago about one, I believe, is powerful example of standing strong, specifically of fighting and being cross-cultural, fighting against being conformed to the world. And that was an animal, a fish. You guys remember? It's a salmon, okay? The salmon. And just to remind you here, you know, salmon are amazing. And they, you know, are determined to get back home. They swim upstream. And here, it didn't come out. This was a gift, but it these salmon, they're swimming across this road. This road in Washington, it floods, and the road doesn't even stop the salmon. Look at them. They're swimming across the road. They have to overcome dangers and obstacles like this one right here. Bears, right? Bears know exactly when the salmon are trying to swim back home against the current, and they camp out. And the salmon have to navigate past the bears. And I've seen them jumping over huge waterfalls. And they are determined. Salmon are determined. They are determined to swim upstream and to fight against the current. And like I said, just I'm partial, but I think salmon are probably the most Christian animal out there, right? Because as Christians, God commands us. He commands us to not be conformed to the world. It's not a suggestion. It's not a recommendation. It's the command of the King of Kings. He says, do not be conformed to the world. Look at this passage, Romans 12, 2. Through Paul, God communicates and commands us, do not be conformed to this world. Can't be any clearer than that. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. I like how they put it in the J.B. Phillips translation. It goes like this. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold. It's like a tube of toothpaste. Don't let the world squeeze you into conforming to the things of the world. But let God remold your minds from within. So God calls us to be countercultural, to not be conformed to the world, to, like the salmon, swim upstream against the current of the world that tries to shape us and mold us to conform to it. But you know, for the salmon to do that, for us to do that, for the salmon to do that, there's a price. There's a cost. Swimming upstream for hundreds and hundreds of miles, navigating all these obstacles takes its toll. Look at the salmon here. This is the salmon after it has migrated upstream. It's all beaten, battered, bruised, exhausted. Swimming against the current of the world, to do that in following the Lord, sometimes we get beaten up. Sometimes we get battered. Sometimes we get bruised. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt like just the world just tired? You know, that the world and trying to live according to God's ways God's values, trying to BLC, be like Christ, especially these days, right, where we could sense and see that the values of the world, the values in the United States, the morals in the United States are getting darker and darker. Maybe you feel like that today. Maybe you feel like that now. Well, Elijah felt like that. You know, in order to learn how to stand strong, we've been looking at one of the greatest prophets in the Bible, Elijah. Because Elijah lived during a time when it was dark. There was idolatry was rampant. There was evil and wickedness and darkness and corruption in the land. And Elijah was trying to stand strong for the Lord in the midst of that. And Elijah had just experienced this huge, gigantic victory. Several weeks ago, Pastor Robert O, he gave a great message on the showdown, right? The showdown between Elijah and the 450 prophets of Baal. And it was a showdown to see whose God is greater. Your God, Baal, the prophets of Baal, or Yahweh? Who is greater? And they had this showdown, and God showed up. And God showed out, and God brought fire on the altar, right? And he had a tremendous, huge victory. But right after this tremendous victory, Elijah crashes. He crashes hard. He crashes and burns. And it was probably, I would guess, the lowest point in his whole life. So when he was low, depressed, discouraged, how did he get through? Where did he turn? What did Elijah do when he just couldn't stand up any longer? Well, we're going to look at today two things that Elijah did to help him to be able to regain his footing and stand again. And so the first is this. The first thing Elijah did to help him get through, Elijah was honest and open with God about how he was doing. Elijah was honest. He was raw. He was unfiltered with God about how he was feeling, what he was thinking, and how he was doing. Let's look. Pick it up. 1 Kings chapter 19. Starting with verse 1. I'll read it for you. When Ahab got home, he told Jezebel everything Elijah had done. So King Ahab, he was telling Jezebel, the queen, about how Elijah had challenged the prophets, how fire came down, and included the way he had killed all the prophets of Baal. So after the challenge, Elisha executed God's judgment. And he literally executed the prophets of Baal. So Jezebel sent this message to Elijah. May the God strike me and even kill me if by this time tomorrow I have not killed you just as you killed them. So Queen Jezebel says, hey, I'm going to kill you. May it be done to me if I do not do this to you. Verse 3, Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. He went to Beersheba, a town in Judah, and he left his servant there. Then he went on alone into the wilderness, traveling all day. He sat down under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. I have had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. For I am no better than my ancestors who have died already. Then he lay down and slept under the broom tree. But as he was sleeping, an angel touched him and told him, get up and eat. He looked around and there beside his head was some bread baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. Then the angel of the Lord came again and touched him and said, get up and eat some more, or the journey ahead will be too much for you. So he got up, ate and drank the food, and the food gave him enough strength to travel 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. That's where Moses, right, goes up to the mountain. The Ten Commandments were given, all that. Mount Sinai. There he came to a cave where he spent the night. But the Lord said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Elijah replied, I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty. But the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me too. Put yourself in Elijah's place. You had just experienced the awesome power of God. Fire came down as you were in this intense battle with the prophets of Baal, and Elijah was all in. He was fully invested. He had his whole heart, soul, mind, strength into this showdown. And God moved in an amazing way. Fire came down from heaven and burnt the sacrifice. And he took out all the false prophets. And I'm sure Elijah thought, it is over. O-V-E-R, done. It is over. God has won. And I can imagine he probably thought, a new day is dawning. There is a new sheriff in town. God's asserting his power. Everything's going to be new. Everything's going to be different. Not so fast. He gets this message from wicked King Queen Jezebel. And basically she says to Elijah, you're dead meat. I am going to hunt you down and kill you just as you killed my prophets. And that sent Elijah into this tailspin. Have you ever been in those kind of tailspins? His thoughts, his emotions start spiraling down, down. Fear starts to grip his soul, and he ends up in this deep, dark blackness of depression. In verse 4, as we read, it says, Elijah says, God, I have had enough. I'm done. I thought this was going to be the greatest renewal, victory, turnaround in the history of Israel. You came in power. What happened? I'm through. He threw in the towel. He was finished. He was done. No more, God. I quit. And it says twice in verse 5 and 6 that Elijah laid down. I thought that was really interesting that it points out that Elijah laid down, which means he literally could not stand anymore. He had no strength. In fact, he wanted to die. He wanted to die. You know, sometimes we get to that point. Sometimes we get so tired, beaten up, frustrated, confused. Things aren't going right. Stuff going on with our families. Jobs crazy. Life's out of control. We just feel like, I quit. I quit. Elijah was in that place. When we try to stand for the things of God and live according to his ways, the world will beat us up, knock us down, and batter us. Elijah was afraid. He was disillusioned. He was lonely. He was hopeless. And he was in this deep depression. This great man of God wanted to die. So what did Elijah do? What did he do? What do you do when you're in despair? Well, he told God exactly how he felt. He opened his heart to God. He acknowledged his desperation. He expressed his weakness. He told God that he didn't want to go on, and he just wanted to, God, take me. Enough already. Take me. When we're not doing well, it's vital. It is vital that we share with God and others just how we're doing. Just how we're doing. I've been reading this book with someone, and actually this was highly recommended by Rick Akiyama. Rick Akiyama is really involved with our prayer ministry. Rick's life's about healing, finding healing in the Lord. So he recommended this book. It's an older book, but it's called Changes That Heal. And a great book. Great book. And I just want to read an excerpt out of this book. And this was written by Dr. Henry Cloud, right? He's a therapist, counselor. Justin, a 27-year-old account executive with a small corporation, came to see me because he was suffering from a depression so dark that he couldn't eat, he couldn't sleep. Some days he couldn't even drag himself into work. He was desperate. "Do you have any close friends?" I asked Justin in our first session together. "I have lots of friends," he replied. "I work with a lot of people, and I do a lot of things in my church. I have a lot of people in my life." Now listen to this. This is the question that Dr. Cloud asked Justin. "Who could I call who could tell me how you've been feeling in the last 2 weeks?" "What do you mean?" "When I think of close friends, I think of people who really know me, who know when I'm hurting and know how to help me." "Are you nuts?" Justin said. "No one wants to know about my depression. I can't tell anyone. They would think something's wrong with me." "There is. You're so depressed, you can't function. Yet not one other human being knows how you're really feeling. How do you expect to get better in a vacuum?" Justin looked puzzled. I don't understand what you're talking about." "What I was talking about was bonding. Bonding is one of the most basic and foundational ideas in life and the universe. It is a basic human need. God created us with a hunger for relationship with Him and with people. At our very core, we are relational beings." Let me ask you a question about Elijah. If Elijah was off in the wilderness all by himself, how do we know how he felt? How do we know today how he felt, what he was thinking, that he was depressed and fearful, that he wanted to die, that he said it's over? How do we know all that? Well, I assume it's because Elijah told people. After this, Elijah shared with others what he was going through and what he went through. He shared so much that God wanted it included in the Bible, the best-selling book of all time, so that everyone could see and know how Elijah was feeling, what Elijah's weakness were, and how he struggled. How this great man of God wanted to die. When we're hurting, when we're in need, we have to tell people. We have to share what's going on. Because in this world, Jesus said, and he told us, and he promised, you will have tribulation. The world is going to knock you down, especially if you're trying to follow the Lord and swim against the current of the world. If you're trying to follow the Lord, follow his command and not let the world conform you to its mold, the world is going to beat you up. Jesus says in John 15, the world is going to hate you. It has hated me, and it's going to hate you because you are not of this world. God wants us to know that we cannot stand strong in our own strength and power. There definitely will come a time, multiple times in all of our lives, where we need help. And he wants us to know the freedom, the grace, the love that we could share with God exactly how we're doing, exactly how we're feeling, exactly what we're going through. Because there are times where we all need help. Sometimes we need physical help with our physical bodies or physical condition. So we go to see wonderful people like Dr. Agnes or doctors or medical professionals because we have physical issues going on. Sometimes those physical issues affect us mentally and emotionally. And sometimes we need medication to help, or medication can help, because if we are suffering from a condition that's affecting our ability to think, our thought processes, you could get as much prayer, you could get all this stuff. God could change your thought process, but a lot of times, we need help. So we need medication to help get our thoughts under control. Sometimes we need emotional and mental help. So we need another person. We go to a counselor. We go to a therapist. We share with our close friends that have a lot of wisdom and understanding and insight. Sometimes we need spiritual help. So when we need spiritual help, we go to the Word and we go to the body of Christ. We have amazing prayer ministry teams in our church. I was just talking to Pastor Sam the other day, and he meets with pastors. He goes to all these different churches, meets with all these different pastors, and he was talking to one pastor about if they have prayer ministry in their church. And he goes, well, not really. And he was talking about Catalyst. He goes, you know, Catalyst, we're not big. We have three different prayer ministries. We have prayer ministry teams that do inner healing. We have deliverance teams that help you to address, you know, demonic bondage, things like that. We have intensive prayer ministry. And the pastor was amazed. He goes, I never heard of that. We are very blessed. We are very gifted. Some of you, God has told you to get prayer ministry years ago. I know. go, yeah, I'll do it. Yeah, I'll go. Because you have certain needs in your life. Or there's certain issues or certain bondage or certain hurts. And keep putting it off, putting it off, putting it off. Get help. Because you can't stand on your own. We weren't made to stand by yourself. We have wonderful teams. Get help. No one knows what you need unless you tell them. Unless you tell them. Elijah realized he couldn't stand on his own power. He embraced his weakness. He voiced his feelings to God. And he laid it all out there before the Lord. The Lord loves that. The Lord knows already, but he loves it when we pour out our heart to him, because that's what bonds us together with him. Elijah did it, this great man of God. If we want to stand strong, we need to do that too. Second thing Elijah did, when he couldn't stand, he knew he needed to hear God's voice and experience God's presence. Let's look at 1 Kings 19, verse 11. God says to Elijah, "Go out and stand before me on the mountain," the Lord told him, and Elijah stood there. And the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a sound of a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And a voice said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied again, "I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." You know, sometimes when we're hurting and when we're in need, we just want God to hurry up and fix it. Just, God, can you just fix everything? We just want the mighty wind to come, the mighty wind of God to come and change everything. Or we want this powerful earthquake to shake the ground of our enemies and all the issues. Or we want the fire to come burn and change all the circumstances in an instant. God, can you just take care of it all for me? You know, but God, he isn't and doesn't want to be to us some kind of like magic genie that just grants all of our wishes and makes everything all right. He is not there just to do for us. He wants to do things and life with us, together. He wants us to grow us with him. He wants us to learn how to walk together with him. This is my journal. Monday through Friday, every day, I journal first thing in the morning. And in my journal, in this journal, what I do, this is me, what I do is I just go before the Lord and I sit. And I usually pray. I pray different things on my mind. I just pray to the Lord, give those to the Lord. And then I sit with the Lord and I say, "Lord, I need to hear your voice. Your voice and your word is life. Can you just speak to me?" And I just write down whatever I think the Lord is saying to me. And, you know, sometimes it's long. And I purposely just limit it to one page, one side of one page. And I just write. Well, this is what I wrote on, it's interesting. The date just cracked me up. It's 11/11/22. You know, those prophetic people, they're all into numbers. 11, 11, that's a perfect alignment. And two 11s, and then it's 22, right? It's like, that's a, like this alignment. Right. Anyway, all right, so this is what I wrote, but I felt like the Lord said to me on 11, 11, 22. I can't remember. I asked him a question, and this is what I said. I told you Catalyst is my church and my people and my hand. My hand is upon you all. You are my beloveds, and I have my good plans and purposes for you. You know, when you walk together with me and release things to me, there is so much more I can do. I will do. It's no fun for me to do it alone. What's the point of that? My joy comes from doing it together and seeing you grow and marvel as you experience all I have for you. We are partners. I love to do things together with you. Stay close. Check in. Do as I have prompted you. Pray and ask. Listen for my voice and my spirit. Trust me. I love you and want the very best for you. I'm going to show you amazing and wondrous things. When the Lord spoke that to me, he gave me a vision. And in the vision, it was a dad helping his son. And, you know, it was one of those, you know, the Cub Scout, Pinewood Derby, right, races. And it was like a movie. I saw the dad helping his son. He goes to his son. He starts helping his son. And in the beginning, he's helping his son to build this car. But after a while, he says, oh, no, do it like this. And, oh, no, let me help you with that. And after a while, the dad started doing more and more and more and more. And pretty soon, in this vision I saw, the dad was doing everything, and the son was sitting on a stool on the side just watching. So the dad did everything, and he's like, this is great, isn't it, son? And he's making the whole car because he wants to win. So he's building this, he makes this whole car, and then the day of the big race comes. And they go through their heats like this, and he wins his first heat, and he moves up, he wins the next heat, and that car, that boy, little boy's car, wins the Derby. And then I saw at the end, the dad was all excited. We did it! We won! You did great! And the boy couldn't care less. Because the dad, he did everything. God's not like that dad. He doesn't want to just have us say, God, you do everything. Do it for me. Do it, fix it, change it, heal it, whatever, for us. That's no fun for him. He could do anything he wants. He could do whatever he wants. What good is that? What fun is that? What joy is that for him? The Father's joy comes when we do it together. When we live life in relationship together. When he comes along our side and we have victories and we overcome. and we bear fruit. That's what he wants. Elisha knew he needed one thing when he was in that depression, that desperate state. He knew there was one thing he needed. He needed to hear the Father's voice, and he needed the Father near. He knew God wasn't in the wind. He knew God wasn't in the earthquake. He knew God wasn't in the fire, because he had learned to hear and recognize the voice of his Father. He recognized his voice so well that he even heard Father God's whisper. You know, to hear someone whisper, you have to be really close to them. They have to be really near. When Father God was close, Elisha stood up and went to meet him at the entrance of the cave. And you know, it's interesting, because this time, God asked him the exact same question he had asked him before. He says, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And Elijah responds and replies the exact same way. He says, right? He says, "I have zealously served you, the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down their altars, and killed every one of their prophets. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too." He had just responded the exact same way earlier in the passage. So what's the difference? What's the difference between this time and that time? The difference was the Father was near, because he had heard the Father's whisper. That's what Elijah needed to be able to stand. He needed the Father's voice, and he needed the Father near. The greatest thing that you can do to be able to stand strong against the current of the world is to learn to hear your Father's voice, and to learn to recognize his presence. How do you do that? You have to put the time and the work in. You have to put the time in. You have to put the effort in. You have to work at hearing God's voice, because it's a skill you need to develop. Let's say you're single, okay, and you want to get married, and you meet someone, and you're very excited because you want to get to know this person. You're very interested in this person. One problem: they're from a foreign country, and you don't speak the same language. So what do? You're excited. You want a relationship with them. You want to get to know them. So what do? You learn the language. You get, you know, what's that, Rosetta Stone or whatever, and you start listening to that every day. You start practicing. You're trying to learn the language, because you want to be able to hear and know and understand their voice. You want to be able to recognize their voice so you can be close and you have an intimate relationship. How much more do we need, and is it important to do that with God? Have to put the time in, have to practice trying to hear God's voice. You have to do things like journal every day. And it's not long. Just sometimes I don't even, it's like half a page. But you got to do things. You got to read books or listen to podcasts on how do I hear the Lord. It's one of the most important skills in the Christian life to learn to hear God's voice and recognize his voice. I've seen it in many of our people at Catalyst, those that have had a breakthrough in hearing God's voice. And I tell you, transformational. It's transformed their relationship with God and their spiritual life. This year, okay, I'm making a commitment before you. This year, I am doing, by the end of September, we're going to do a How to Hear God boot camp. It's not a class. It's a boot camp for about 4 weeks, how to hear God. But don't wait for that. Start now, because this is one of the most important skills in your Christian life. You know, I'm just going to close with this. All right, Elijah poured out his heart to the Lord, and he knew how to hear God's voice and recognize God's presence. I want to just close by sharing about one of our own. His name is Jesse Earhart, better known as Uncle Jesse. Uncle Jesse, raise your hand over there. Now, Uncle Jesse could have easily let life's circumstances keep him down. Very easily. But instead, he chose to stand, and not only stand, but to run. Yeah, Uncle Jesse. Because of Jesse's condition, it can be difficult for him to communicate verbally. But he can write really well. He's a good writer. And so we decided we wanted to give him a platform to be able to share about his life and share about his faith. And so with the help of Damon Gohara, we created Uncle Jesse's Corner. And it's on your Catalyst app. You could read. He's putting out about 5 articles so far. And it's on our website. And I'm just going to read. It's not too long. I'm just going to read the first article Jesse wrote, because I want you to know him, because he's someone who is standing for the Lord. He says, "I don't like to talk about myself, but here goes. Hi, my name is Jesse, and I'm Sakura's uncle. I have a twin brother named James. We may look alike, but we don't physically look alike. My brother was born healthy and well. I, on the other hand, was not. I was born with a disability called cerebral palsy. It's a disability that is caused from damage to the brain during birth. The side effects of this disability are as follows: a speech impairment, walking like one of those zombies on The Walking Dead, and a crippled right arm. When I'm not in church, I like to keep myself in good health. I go about this by walking a mile on my treadmill and punching my heavy bag for 30 minutes. I do this 5 days a week. I also compete in 5K races. Since 2011, I've been doing the Long Beach Turkey Trot on Thanksgiving, of course. But every year, I always come in dead last. This year will be my 9th year doing it. Honestly, this should have been my 10th, but that darn COVID got in the way. In 2015, I challenged myself to compete in a 5K each month that year. And in all 12 races, I came in dead last. Another thing I like to do when I'm in church is to draw. When I'm not in church, is to draw. I've been drawing since I can remember. Every Christmas season, I design and hand draw my own Christmas cards. I send them to family and friends. I don't know when I started doing this or how many cards I've designed, but I'm pretty sure it's over 100. Well, I think I have talked enough about myself, so I'll end it here. But before I go, thank God for the little things. That we all take for granted. Uncle Jesse. I have a new example of standing strong. It's not the salmon. It's Uncle Jesse. God wants us to stand strong. Maybe you're hurting now. Maybe you're going through difficulty. If you are, God wants you to pour out his heart. He wants you to hear, be able to hear his voice. So in your deep darkness, you can experience your heavenly Father coming near. I'm going to have the worship team come up. And today, I just felt like, based on the message, the passage, some of you are in that place where you need help. You need help with something in your life right now. And so I just want to encourage you, if that's you, come forward, just sit up here. And we have prayer ministers. They're on alert. They know someone comes up, that's cue for us to go pray for someone, minister to people. And so that's you. I also want to include a lab today with the closing worship. And the lab's this. I just want you, if you don't need prayer, then I just want you to ask God, look around and say, is there someone here you want me to pray for? And then if God highlights someone to you, I want you to just ask the Lord, okay, what do you want me to pray for them? And I just want to encourage you. Could be someone in your family, could be someone next to you, could be someone that you don't know. Just go up to them and just say, oh, is it okay? I just want to say a word of prayer for you. And just pray for them. Just pray for them, and the Lord will use you to bless. Just the act of you going up to show your faith and your love and care. That in itself speaks volumes. Okay? And so let's close the time. Lord, thank you for being so gracious and kind to us. Thank you, Lord, that for the example of Elijah. Lord, because we all have been there, and we will be there sometime in our life. And thank you, we could pour out our heart to you and to others in our church family. And so, Lord, I pray you would just call those forward that need prayer and call those out who you want to just bless and pray one another. And Lord, would you just move in this time? Move in this time, God, and draw near to us and speak with your voice clearly so we could hear. And come, Lord, because we need you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for our online service. Hope you will join us in person sometime. It'd be great to see you and meet you. Don't forget to subscribe to our Catalyst YouTube channel so you don't miss out on anything. And be blessed this week. And as always, thank you, Jesus.